Well, yes, it's one of our favorite times of the week. It's time to talk to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency, here every Thursday on The Ticket. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Now, there's all kinds of pros of being a play-by-play voice of an institution, but there's always some cons. And Brian knows this as well as anybody, and as many broadcasters out there know, there are good news stories, and there are some other stories that you would rather not have to necessarily talk about or deal with, but yet is part of the gig. So I'll start with the tough stuff, and then we're going to have the fun stuff after that. How's that sound, Brian? Are you cool with that?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because obviously it's a national story, and it broke yesterday that KU basketball coach Bill Self and assistant Curtis Townsend suspended for the first four games of the season, and that's self-imposed by the University of Kansas, and that Coach Self and Coach Townsend will miss the matchup against Duke. They'll miss matchups against Omaha, North Dakota State, and Southern Utah as well. Be back for the Bahamas tournament there, the Battle for Atlantis, November the 23rd. Can you just kind of give us an idea on the timeline of how this all came together? And then I guess the biggest question, as with anything in life, Why now, right when we're about to start the exhibition season tonight?
Well, I think that it's kind of gone on long enough.
And yeah,
without digging through the weeds of everything that dates all the way back to 2017, I think Kansas is ready from a leadership level, top to bottom. I mean, chancellor to AD to basketball coach, all in line with this decision that they'd like to progress this thing down the road and get closer to completion. And that's why you saw them take proactive steps on late night in the fog and not having any official on-campus visitors. And that was part of the self-imposed penalty here for the, you know, NCAA infractions case. And will it be enough? You know, we'll see. But it's the first step in trying to get some sort of resolution. And obviously, you know, four games for both Coach Townsend and Bill Self, though significant in the eyes of some internally. There have been other folks nationally that wonder, you know, will the NCAA try to come back before? It remains to be seen. You know, there's recruiting sanctions they put on themselves in terms of, you know, three scholarships over a three-year period that will be taken away. That is very significant. Some recruiting restrictions in terms of when they can get out and recruit and that kind of thing. So will the total package of punishments be enough? We'll have to wait and see, but I know this, you know, it's my job to kind of next man up it on the bench, just like we do when a player goes down with an injury, and talk about what we have. And I think it makes a lot of sense when they added Joe Dooley, former, you know, Bill Self assistant, who then was the Florida Gulf Coast and East Carolina head coach. He comes in to the coaching staff in the off season, and he certainly helps add a veteran voice on that bench during these four games and anything else that might, you know, possibly be required of him, while Norm Roberts is going to be your interim head coach. And Norm, as you know, was former head coach at St. John's and did a tremendous job there back between 2004 and 2010. And, you know, he talks like a head coach, acts like a head coach, has run his own program at a high conference level. And so keep in mind, you know, Phil Self's practicing with the guys and working them out on non-game days, not a ton is going to change. And for the Kansas fan wondering how will this affect the team the first four games, no doubt you'll miss him on the sidelines in the games, and his ability to make in-game adjustments and draw up, you know, late-game decisions in the huddle is certainly something we'll miss. But if there was ever a great extension of him, it's Norm Roberts with Joe Dooley right there next to him. So, you know, you get those two guys, and obviously Jeremy Case is still on the bench, and Brady Morningstar able to help, you know, fill in a little bit as well. But I'm excited to see how Kansas can weather this four-game storm and then hopefully start to put all this behind us.
All right, KU's on the basketball floor tonight. 6:30 pregame on ZNI 6.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas, taking on my Pittsburgh State Gorillas. I say my because I graduated from Pittsburgh State, so I am a Gorilla. Exhibition game tonight. What exhibition games, you know, are fun. You kind of get a first real public look at them, other than if you attended Late Night in the Fog and all that. What are you looking for? What's something that you're keying on in an exhibition game tonight before they start the season on Monday?
Well, first off, excited to see my buddy Jeff Boshi. We were the same age, came into KU together, and I've been a big fan of his career at Missouri Southern State University. And it's just a shame that the player that he helped build up and cultivate the talents of and send him off to Kansas, Cam Martin, will not be able to play in this game because of a shoulder injury. Mm. It's similar to what Jalen Daniels is dealing with in football. And so he'll be out for a little bit, and he's working his way back and doing all he can to get back sooner rather than later. But that would have been fun to see the guy that starred for Boise at his previous stop, finally putting his talents on display. We saw him briefly in an exhibition game last year, but that was it for the redshirt senior forward. But excited about Boise's return, 338 career threes, all-time record holder, all-time great. Some of the biggest shots of his career, biggest moments were in the fog. So I really hope he gets the standing ovation he deserves. Beyond, seeing the return of Boshi, really intrigued to watch Grady Dick in a packed house, 16,300. What can he do beyond shoot the basketball? We've heard so much about, what a confident shooter he is. And I want to see him fill it up from deep and show that off a little bit. But then I want to see the transition game. I want to see how he's improved defensively. I want to see some of those other aspects of his game on display, because I think, unlike some freshmen that come in and have to defer to four other guys in terms of scoring punch, he's right there after Jalen and Kevin McCullough as maybe your next best scoring option. And so there will be nights where he has to step up and carry the mail a little bit. And so I want to see, the full skill set on display of how he can score, not just with the jumper, which is truly a thing of beauty. And we've talked about it on previous reports, the release point, how quickly he gets it off, the confidence with which he shoots it. It's going to be really fun to follow all year long. But I want to see him get out in transition and show what he can do there. In terms of the interior presence, that's probably the biggest question mark on this team. And, Zuby and Ernest aren't going to just, unpack a bevy of post moves overnight. These are guys that are still adding and developing. And in the case of Zuby, I think he's a little ahead of Ernest in terms of being a more polished post product, say that five-time staff.
Yeah.
Because he's got more of an established skill set of post moves. And Ernest is more of a just big physical athlete who can catch lobs with an amazing catch radius, throw down vicious dunks, be a beast on the boards, all that. And Ernest has great athleticism, or I should say Zuby has great athleticism as well, but Ernest is 2 inches taller, and as I said last week, they're both kind of what Coach Self likes to call rim runners and lob catchers. I just see a little more polish in Zuby's game. So what does that look like? What does Clements look like? Obviously, you're not going to get the test in the post. You're going to get in a couple of weeks when you go up to Indianapolis and face Duke. But, I want to see these guys in live action against somebody other than themselves show what they can do in terms of post-scoring, because for the first time in 6 years, you don't have a guy where you can just throw it to him on the block and let him go to work and he'll go get his. It's got to be designed a little bit more. And obviously Bill Self is the ultimate alley-oop, draw up the play to get an easy dunk coach there is. You see it on baseline out-of-bounds plays, see it coming out of timeouts with back cuts, and boom, next thing you know, you're punching it on some dude with a alley-oop lob dunk. He'll do a lot of that to get some of these young guys interior touches that are high-percentage touches. But when Jalen is having a rough shooting night or things from the perimeter and mid-range aren't there, lanes to drive with dribble penetration have become tougher to come by, and you got to throw it into the post to get something, I want to see who emerges and what that looks like. I'm not saying Cam Martin would have been that guy, but him being out definitely handcuffs what you have in terms of post scoring. And I'll be honest, when you go into practice right now, they got three scholarship bigs, and two of them are 18-year-old kids that have been here for a handful of months.
Yeah.
So it's not to say that's not a talented and capable group. It's just a really young, really green group. And so I'm curious to see how they show out tonight. Not that we'll put a whole lot of stock in this one, but those are some of the areas, because you know what you have in Jalen Wilson. You know what you have in DeJuan Harris. And I think Kansas fans will very quickly understand how good Kevin McCullough is. It's more of those untapped potential, unanswered questions at the other positions with younger players where I think we'll have most of our focus tonight.
Yeah, KU against Pittsburgh State tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off, and then Monday they'll host Omaha to start the season And then next Thursday, they'll take on North Dakota State. And then, of course, the matchup against Duke in the Champions Classic coming up 12 days from now in Indianapolis. Let's turn our attention to the football team. You mentioned Jalen Daniels. It's crazy how things change from week to week. I mean, Oklahoma State looked a few weeks ago like, man, maybe nobody's going to knock them off. They might be the team to beat in the Big 12. Now, they've had a ton of injuries. KU certainly had their share. K-State's had a ton of injuries. Last week, K-State shellacked Oklahoma State. They're missing multiple starters. Their quarterback is, I think we can tell, is not nearly close to 100%. There's even some rumors out there that he might not play this weekend against KU, which would really help KU's chances of winning. So it is amazing. And then, of course, Daniels, KU's rolling. He gets hurt. KU hasn't won a game since he got hurt. Two-part question. One, what's the status of Daniels going in this game against Oklahoma State on Saturday? And then, two, have you heard anything in regards to Oklahoma State's quarterback situation?
Well, there is a lot of scuttlebutt that Spencer Sanders could be out, and it could be something that affects the rest of their season. But I don't know. You know, we're obviously not in Cowboy camp, and,
sure.
And I know in talking a little bit with their crew, there's optimism and hope, just as there is for Jalen. But at the same time, there's also, realistic get the next guy ready just in case going on there as well. The good news is it comes down to backup quarterbacks. Ours has much more experience, and whatever you think of Jason Dean, he's shown, even if it's not consistent for all four quarters, he can make some big-time plays, and he's had 2.5 weeks of ramp-up for this, whereas whether it's Mike Gundy's son or another backup, if Spencer Sanders is out, there's a very limited sample size on what they've got behind him. And so the Sanders injury, I think, is as fascinating or more so than the Jalen Daniels update. And I will say this. I think a lot of us, when we saw Jalen in a uniform in Waco 2 weeks ago, suiting up for the game, had a couple of light passes on the sideline, you say, okay, well, the bye week comes up, and that means 14 days later, surely he's going to be ready to go. And who knows? Maybe he's out there. But understand that with the nature of this injury, it's one thing to be able to be back and throw the football around a little bit. It's another to absorb contact and hits and possibly fall on it again. And they're dealing with not just range of motion, but stability and structure. And so I would just caution KU fans' expectations that whether he's out there or not, he's not close to 100% yet, just based on timetable. And so hopefully he's able to play. But if he's still a little bit of ways away, understand that he's come leaps and bounds just to be as close as he is right now, ahead of what many would have projected. And he's busting his tail every day. I mean, Coach complimented his attitude and efforts last night on Hawk Talk about how hard he's been working to get back and how engaged he is in practice and all the things that he's able to do. He's doing exceptionally well. And so, we'll see what Saturday brings. But I know this, Kansas is not going to put all their eggs in one basket, and they're going to make sure they've got multiple guys ready. And they also won't throw him in harm's way if it's not a prudent thing at this juncture. We recognize we still need to win one more for goal eligibility. We recognize some golden opportunities have slipped through our grasp, but you're never going to sacrifice the kids, long-term for something in the short term, especially when you feel like you have a lot of confidence in his backup. So I would say this, I'm very confident we're going to see Jalen Daniels soon. I just don't know if that's this week or next or the week after. He's going to find his way back into this mix. But don't just presume because we had a bye week and he was in uniform before the bye week that naturally it's all healed up and ready to go. This was not a twisted ankle. This is something that requires more rehab than that. And so we'll see what Saturday brings, but there's definitely hope and optimism, and yet Kansas is keeping their cards very close to their vest, and they're also going to be very protective of what is as key a cog as you have in this whole thing.
Jacoby Bryant, what's the status of him and any others that KU fans need to know about going in this game on Saturday?
I feel like the updates that Coach gave last night on Kobe and Luke Grimm were more conclusive. This is replay review. We're still looking for angles on the Jalen Daniels situation. I think we've got more solid photo evidence that Luke and Kobe and guys like that were day-to-day entering the bye week are much more ready to come back. Now, does that mean they're 100%? Not necessarily, but they're in a much more stable position to return. And so I would expect both those guys are back. Highshot's injury is more long-term. And it's good to hear that he's back in practice and able to be around his teammates, but that's one that, you know, I don't think we'll update that one for the next several weeks. Whereas the Jalen situation requires, you know, updates, any chance you can get them. And I think we're really close to having Luke and Kobe back to where we don't have to even ask about them. So considering what it looked like for Kobe Bryant on the field at Oklahoma, you know, when he had to be carted off, they dodged a major bullet there. And I'm really hopeful he's out there on Saturday and looking like the Kobe that was locking down his side of the field back in the month of September. And then Luke, you know, you underestimate the value of a possession receiver like that, who's so good going over the middle or making the tough catch on third down, so sure-handed. We have great deep ball threats like Skinner and Arnold, and we've seen the tight ends make huge plays this year, but the trust factor for number 11 out there to make a big play when called to do so is something that you really want your quarterback to have, whoever it is. So I'm excited that it looks like he's going to be able to trend in that direction. And that was the indication we got from Hawk Talk last night with Coach. So I would say, you know, if we want to do old school NFL terms, since they don't list probables anymore, if I had to guess, just based on context clues from Hawk Talk and all that, those last two, Kobe and Luke, are more probable and questionable would still be the tag I'd use for Jalen Daniels.
Brown Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Somebody asked me yesterday, they said, well, is this a dangerous spot for KU in regards to, you know, Oklahoma? You said they were a wounded animal, and you're going to get their best shot. Oklahoma State's coming off a 48-0 shellacking. I said there's two major differences. One, Oklahoma's getting their quarterback back. Oklahoma State may be losing their quarterback. And two, Oklahoma was coming back home. Oklahoma State's got to go to Lawrence. So I think it sets up pretty good for KU, and hopefully they can get that win and be bowl eligible coming up on November the 5th, this Saturday afternoon there in Lawrence. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. You know, I've been hearing a lot of stories, you know, reading, seeing this, whatever. The circus, as they like to call it in Brooklyn with the Nets and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, now Steve Nash, the head coach, they've parted ways. It does seem like a bit of a circus. There's a circus act in L.A. too with the Lakers, it seems like, almost every year now. So that led me to the thought of the off-the-wall question. That is, and I know I haven't ever asked you this, Brian Haney, I don't know if you've attended a circus or not, but what is your favorite act? What's your favorite circus act that you've seen or you like to watch?
I think I was always fascinated with the trapeze artists.
Me too.
Because they're just swinging around, and there's real athleticism on display there, and there's obviously great danger at risk there. And so it's not just some dude like, you know, riding the back of an elephant in a 360-degree circle. Like, yeah. These gals and guys are flipping and swinging and jumping up in the air and catching the bar as they twist around and contort, and timing's got to be perfect. Athleticism has got to be on display. And to me, that's probably the coolest thing. Now, obviously, dudes are juggling, like, flaming swords and stuff like that. That's pretty cool, too. But I've always been intrigued with the death-defying, high-flying nature of trapeze artists.
Yeah, the flying trapeze artists. You and I are so alike in so many ways on some of these questions. That's exactly my answer as well. I think it's more dangerous to follow the elephant in case he, you know, has to go to the bathroom and get kicked or stepped on than actually riding it. So I'm with you there.
Completely agree.
All right, man. Well, have great call tonight. We'll be listening tonight and also on Saturday. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, my man.
Looking forward to it. Thanks as always, and big thanks to Anderson Insurance Agency for making these reports possible for the last 6-plus years, man. Love those guys. We'll look forward to talking next week.
Sounds good. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. As Brian said, they do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.